You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
W.
T. L.
It's a big, hairy American winning machine. You ain't first, you're last.
W.
T. L.
All right, nice, huh? Got a talk show here, talk show with my mic. I got everything!
W.
T. L.
All he does is work out at performance. 10 and 2, 85% weekend. You're a mute!
W.
T. L.
Brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by...
Hey, it's Jabron. We're back, boys.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder getting after once again on Where's the Line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's go.
So what a week it was. We got to start off with the Kentucky Derby.
Oh,
history.
My gosh.
History being made. That was an awesome race. Rich Strike, an 80-1. 80-1 dog.
That was absolutely insane. I just got to come out and say it. I had so much money on Epic Center. I really thought he was going to win the whole thing. My bookies were very happy the next day.
Yeah, I mean, an Epicenter was kind of the odds-on favorite.
Yeah.
You know, jumping between 3-1, 4-1, mm-hmm. that entire afternoon. That coverage by NBC Sports is just phenomenal.
It was awesome.
You get sucked into it, and you find yourself the biggest horse racing fan on the planet, you know, for a good 5 hours, you know.
Yeah, you don't know anything about it except that they tell you everything, and it turns out being wrong, so...
And believe it or not, Rich Strike, he's not the greatest upset in the history of the Derby.
Wow.
He's actually the second. 1913, Dunrail was a 95.5-1 favorite. So
that's pretty wild.
Yeah. And Rich Strike, there was a little bit of some controversy going into this one, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better term. Because he wasn't even on the card until about 8:30 a.m.
Exactly.
Race day.
A lot of people were like, who is this horse? We did a, you know, kind of a raffle at the bar that we were at thing. And he wasn't even able to be picked there. So nobody won the raffle.
You know, that's funny you mention that because my wife got into a pool like that.
Yeah.
And we're watching it. We're going crazy. The upsets are saying, oh my gosh. You went to look up who won.
Nobody won.
Because he was a late addition, and it was a pretty good interview with his trainer and the owner afterwards, and they said, look, we wouldn't have gotten into this race had we not thought we could win.
Right.
And by God, I mean, I don't know if they really believe that, but hey.
Well, they cashed in on it.
Yes, they did. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to go over some of the fun bets here and what was made on that or what could have been made. A $1 trifecta.
Yeah.
Just bet $1 and trifecta. That means you get the first, second, and third right in a row.
Yep.
That would have paid out $14,870.70.
Dollar well spent.
Yeah. That would have been a great $1 bet. And I even have to say, there's no way I ever would have picked that.
No, it's so insane.
Epicenter and Zandon, you know, you're 4-1, 6-1 favorite on most books. That's easy enough. You can do that. But who would have thought to make the 80-1?
Just an 80-1 late edition horse. That's not going to be picked. I'm sure people did, and that's very awesome that they did that. I was listening to that interview too, and somebody said that they bought that horse for like $30,000.
Yeah, it was insane.
And they just cashed in for 1.9 just on the purse alone. I'm sure those owners had some bets on them as well. So
yeah, and then the superfecta where you got to get the top four, and then so go down the list there. You got an 80-1, then you got Epicenter and Zandon, your two odds on favorites.
Yep.
Simplification was a 35-1. So I mean, if you're going to get the 80-1, you might as well get Simplification at 35-1.
You might as well.
That paid out $321,000 on a $1 bet.
On a $1 bet.
Come on, guys. Just get the top four horses.
Yeah.
Easy enough, right?
That's easy enough right there.
Easy money. And I got to say, that was one of the most exciting. They call it the most exciting 2 minutes, you know.
In sports.
In sports.
Yeah.
And it really was, especially how Rich Strike, I think he was in 18th place coming around that last corner.
He was in the middle of the pack. Nobody could have ever seen that happening.
And he was just, you watch the replay and they put that pin on him so you can kind of follow him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just maneuvering in and out and around horses. Then he got that inside lane. You're like, is this really happening?
Is this happening?
And you had the two favorites, you know, really dueling, you know, going down to the wire. And Rich Strike out of nowhere struck Rich.
I mean, I was in the bar. I was going nuts, throwing my beer and everything. I thought Epic Center had it. And right at the end, I was not very happy. Threw my cowboy hat and walked out of the bar.
Nice. Take a little breather. Decompress.
Take a little breather and then start betting on some NBA basketball.
There you go. We can get it back. We can get it back.
We can get it back, boys.
And that's one thing with sports betting. There's always another day.
There's always another game.
There's always another game. You don't have to blow your entire budget.
That's true.
On one race, which sometimes on the Derby, that tends to happen.
It's just fun on the Derby. Like you said, not a lot of people know a lot about it, but it just... It's so entertaining, you know, it's fun to throw a little money down. You know, nobody ever goes, I would never go broke over it or whatever,
but
it's so much fun just to, you know, throw a couple hundred on it and see what happens,
Yeah, you're exactly right. Play within yourself, play within your budget.
Exactly.
Your bankroll, don't let it get out of hand, and have fun. That's what this is all about.
That's what it's all about, boys.
Speaking of having fun, some lines came out on college football, so let's dive right into
the Big Red.
The Big Red and the Big Ten West. But believe it or not, another Big Red, other Big Red, maybe the bigger red, the better red as of late.
The Badger Red, is that
the
what you're saying?
Badger Red. They're the favorites at plus 185 to win the West, but the Huskers are right behind them in the two-hole at plus 250. Purdue third in line at plus 370. Then Iowa in the four spot at plus 55. What do you make of that early line there with Wisconsin obviously being the favorite?
Yeah.
But Nebraska in front of the likes of Purdue, Iowa, and even Minnesota.
Well, yeah, we haven't showed that in the last couple of years, obviously, to deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are thinking we're coming around the corner. And I think with the Iowa thing, I just think it's finally got out that they have bad corn. So
I saw the t-shirt.
No, I do think that Nebraska, I'm obviously a homer or whatever. You definitely have to have Wisconsin in that first spot because they are just a powerhouse in and out, big lines, big running backs, all that kind of stuff. But I really do like the way that we've been trending with recruiting and recruiting our coaching as well
to get
back to where we need to be, obviously. And a lot of that has to do with offensive line and special teams for me, which I think we have definitely improved on over this offseason. So I do think that we're probably the second best team in the West. But again,
it's a show me type of deal.
It's a show me type of deal.
And that's kind of rubbing off on bettors too, because it's really cooled off, I feel like, as far as how much money is being placed on Nebraska. And it's not the cappers or the bookies' fault. They're just doing what the numbers are telling them, what their models are telling them to do, and putting their own spin on it as well. You know, taking it a step further, odds to just win the Big Ten as a whole, there's not a lot of value there from what I'm seeing. You got Ohio State, a huge favorite, 1-2.
Yeah.
And then in second place, you got Wisconsin, 10-1, Michigan, 11-1, Penn State, 12-1. And then there's Nebraska right there at 14-1. So if you're looking for value as far as anyone other than Ohio State, you might as well take a flyer on like a Nebraska. Iowa's at 20-1.
Yeah.
I mean, I might like Iowa. I mean, I don't like Iowa, but as a bettor, I'm looking at this 20-1. Why not?
Exactly. No. When I saw those, I thought that was pretty crazy. Obviously, Ohio State has to be a big favorite. They're in and out. College football playoff talk all the time. The one that kind of really surprised me there, Andy, was the Michigan, because I really do think that they have a really, really good team. And I think they're just a little bit better than us and, you know, the couple teams that are right in that range. So if it was my list, I would have Ohio State 1 and then Michigan right behind them. But like we're talking about off pod here, that Michigan would have to beat this team twice to win it outright. So it probably, well, they would have to beat Ohio State in the regular season.
At Ohio State.
That's just a tough thing to do. That's why Ohio State's so far out in front there with that.
And it's probably why Wisconsin has that slight edge early on here over Michigan.
Yeah.
Because it's not one of those deals where they're going to have to go on the road and beat Ohio State to get in that championship game.
For sure.
They're just coming from the West. So
yep.
I think a little bit of that is playing into this early line.
No doubt.
As it should. I mean, that's why that's how these models are created, and that's what they're going off of. You know, and Wisconsin went 9-4 last year. Nothing flashy. Didn't even make it to the Big Ten championship game. So this is kind of like a get-back year for Wisconsin. They didn't have a bad year.
But
they didn't have a great year. Like
they didn't
we're kind
have a Wisconsin year.
Yeah, like we're kind of used to seeing last few years, you know, as far as just dominating the West. That's not exactly what happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, there's been some early movement on Nebraska's first game. There's not a whole lot of lines out, but the game across the pond in Owl, Ireland versus the Northwestern Wildcats, opening the season across the ocean against a conference foe. Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah,
okay,
why not?
I get it. Yep, okay. but Nebraska's the early favorite right now at -9.5. And interestingly enough, in about a 24-hour window here from when this opened, it's already moved down an entire point. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But obviously people were betting on Northwestern covered.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
The line's already moving down.
Yeah. Man, it's so tough. It's so tough because it's first game jitters. It's across the pond. It's a Big Ten foe. Northwestern has nothing to lose. Nebraska could literally lose their whole season in their own eyes on the first game.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think we are going to come out a little, a little tight, but I do think that we open this game up and kind of throttle them a little bit in the second half, especially if these guys are playing like I think they should be.
And, you know, last year I was at that game. You were at that Northwestern game. And that was probably Nebraska's best game, I would say, last two, maybe even 3 years, as far as a complete game, getting out, putting it on someone, stepping on their throat, taking control of a game, taking care of the ball on offense, playing solid defense. Like, that was the complete package, and they just went. I mean, they won by like 40 points.
Yeah, and held on to the ball. That was the biggest thing. And no special teams hiccups in that game.
Limited turnovers.
No, and that's what I'm kind of basing my status on here, Andy, is just a lot of last year when we went to that game, we kind of just smoked them. And I don't think that they've got better. I think that we have.
I mean, just looking at the transfer portal hype, the recruiting classes, the rankings, which that hasn't boded well for Nebraska for the past few years. I get it.
The quarterback, the offensive line, the special teams, and the coaches. Like I said, I think these coaches are really steering us in the right direction. I wish this game wasn't played. I know that it's fun, that it's in Ireland. Mm-hmm. I just wish it wasn't the first game.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't the first game, and I wish it wasn't the first game against a Big Ten foe.
Right.
I want those cupcake games back. Those
open
lines
up with Marshall.
That we're 30-point favorites, and we're probably not going to cover that either. But I know that we're going to at least win that game.
All right, now some big picture stuff here,
because
a lot of focus is going on the SEC, and rightfully so, and that's what a lot of the books are focusing on. Looking at some games that I'm kind of looking at here that I like, and I feel this is a little bit of a spillover here to win the SEC East. Georgia's a heavy favorite here.
Yep.
Dogs. They're over under 11.5. I am going under all day on that. 11.5. Georgia's just going to win 12 games with the target on their back. The feel-good story's over. They won. Now everyone's going to be gunning for them.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be so tough. And I'm not saying Georgia's not as good
team.
As they were last year, okay? It's just that is very difficult to win 12 games. Hey, for Nebraska, it's tough to win 5 games.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, what do you make of that?
The whole thing with that, you can't set it any lower than that, Andy, or people are going to smash it. You know what I mean? They're definitely a 10-win team, no matter what. If you would put that lower, you would see all that money just flowing in on that over. So you kind of got to risk it and put it at that 11.5 mark.
Yeah, that's how those lines are built.
They're defending champions, and everybody thinks they're going to come in and win probably 12 to 13 games. So it's really tough to put it lower than that because people would just smash it.
I mean, but that's also setting them up. It's propping them up as, if they only win 11 games, what a downer of a year.
Right.
Right. but I personally, I'm looking at that under.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking Georgia's going to be one of the best. They could still win the title. you know, and they probably would win 12 games then.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the odds are they probably won't get there again. That's what I'm looking at.
With the SEC, it's tough. I think, yeah, I would probably look at that under as well, Andy, just because there's so many good teams in that, and any team can beat you any weekend, and Georgia just, to me, hasn't built themselves up like an Alabama, like a Clemson in past years, that I know that they're going to win 12 games.
And Georgia's also done that where they were so many years in a row where they're expected to be...
They're number one or two.
Yeah, the lead pony.
And then they just win nine games, which is not a bad season.
No.
But it's not 12 wins.
It's not 11 and a half.
Yeah.
That's the under.
Agreed.
All right. You know I'm a glass half full guy, so I'm gonna go on the other end of the spectrum here.
Yeah.
I think Vanderbilt... Okay.
Vandy.
They're sitting at two.
Two wins in the SEC.
I'm thinking they're going to go over. And here's why. They opened the season with Hawaii and Elon. And what is Elon?
They're the Musks.
Did Elon Musk also like develop a university without me knowing and schedule Vanderbilt for the second game?
Yeah, they got the Tesla logo on the t-shirt there.
There you go. So they probably will lose that game to Elon.
Yeah.
So maybe
I'm rethinking this in real time. Elon don't lose.
No, but I'm thinking they can beat Hawaii. They can beat Elon. And then I'm just thinking any other game along the way to get them to three. Then they cover. Come on, Vanderbilt. The Commodores.
Yeah.
That's probably the most unsexy SEC.
Yeah, I don't know about that one,
ever.
Andy. I just, I
two?
Agree.
You're not giving the Commodores more
I agree.
Than two.
I agree. You could probably push that bet. I bet you could push it. But Hawaii and Elon, you can probably get. But what happens when they lose to Hawaii first game and then you're just kind of SOL?
No, Northern Illinois is on the schedule, too. Come on, Vandy.
We almost lost to Northern Illinois, or we did. I can't remember which way it went.
Probably did.
No, I do not like that bet. I'm going to stay away from Vanderbilt. I'd rather take the Georgia bet.
You know, and I mean, I'm just kind of looking at a lot of pundits here and what they're saying. They're with you. They're like, it's a lot of folks want to go with the over. We're sticking with the under.
That's
probably going to go with the push.
Anytime you see a line that low on a win-loss, you know that team sucks.
Yeah. Well, and here's another one that a lot of folks are looking at, and that's Missouri sitting at five. They're in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Their over-under is at five, and a lot of these guys are thinking that I'm looking at these pundits.
Yeah.
They're saying, go with the over. They like Missouri and bounce back here.
Mizzou's always, you know, been a, you know, decent football team that can pull upsets off and, you know, win the games that they should anyways. I like that line. I like it at five.
They have eight returning starters, and it's looking like they're going to be the odds-on favorite. I mean, they're going to be favorites here in much of their non-conference games to go 4-0 in the non-con.
Yeah.
So then, once again, you're in that spot where you just have to pick up one conference win.
And they have before.
Yeah.
Oh, and they have.
They won the East not too long ago.
Exactly.
So they've done it.
That's not outrageous. So I like that bet. I like that one bet a lot better than Vanderbilt, but even better than the Georgia
bet. You got to risk the biscuit every now and then, though.
Agreed.
All right. So let's take a quick break. Then we're going to get back and we're going to talk UFC Fight Night like we always do.
Let's go.
USFL.
Woo!
That's not fading. That's actually gaining some traction.
The
ratings are there.
It is.
And then we got to talk NBA basketball, the Friday capper, Milwaukee versus Boston.
Let's go.
Don't go anywhere, folks. You're listening to WTL. Welcome back to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by Jabron, the Parlay Pounder.
Yeah, boys, let's go.
We got so much to cover here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking UFC, we're talking USFL, NBA basketball, playoffs in full swing,
some drama creating. Yep, a lot of drama. In all of these things.
No kidding. Yeah. All right. Well, then we throw some betting lines on top of it. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's start with the Friday night fight night at the UFC. We got Blokovic versus Rakic. That's your main card. Number one contender.
Yep. Versus number three. Yep.
Versus number three in Rakic. What do you make of it? Obviously, Blokovic is the number one. He also has a lot more experienced fights under his belt, sitting at a 28-9 record. Rakic only at 14-2, so he's kind of the young pup of the two.
I kind of like how you led into that because Jan Blachowicz is the underdog here for some reason.
Mm.
So that is where my money is going. He's up at a plus 135, so he's getting plus money here. This guy
I like the plus money.
Yeah, he was just the champion. He lost to Glover Teixeira and got submitted by him. Obviously, these big guys, they don't have the best ground and pound game or, you know, submittal game. So he kind of got outed as not a good wrestler. But neither is this Rakic guy. Whole thing that I go back with Jan is he beat Israel Adesanya, which is probably the best UFC fighter in the world.
Right.
Adesanya saw the target on his back and said, I can move up a weight class and beat this guy. Mm-hmm. The Polish power was just a little bit too much for him with Jan. So I always go back to this and think that this guy is a really, really good fighter. And I think I'm going to throw a little bit of money on this plus 135 bet.
And, you know, to your point, grappling statistics actually has Jan Lukovic as a little bit of a favorite over Rakic here. I think people are just looking at that last fight, that loss. Yeah. And also on the other side, Rakic, his last fight was a win. So, you know, you kind of go to that sometimes where, well, what's the most recent thing to happen?
Right.
One guy's going one way and another guy's going up the ladder the other way.
Exactly.
And maybe you're seeing a little bit of that there and projecting just going off that last fight.
Exactly. And like you said, Rakic did just beat Thiago Santos and Anthony Smith, both in decisions. The whole thing with this is I just don't think he's overpowering. He beat these guys by decision. He didn't knock him out. I just don't see him.
He still wins a lot of his fights, though, by KO.
He does. TKO, he does.
70% of them.
I just think Jan is a bigger, better fighter, and I think he's got the power to finish this guy, and I think that's what's going to happen.
You know, and he looks like it. He's got that strong Polish jaw like you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Rakic, kind of a narrow-faced dude from Serbia. But tail of the tape actually has them both at 205, 206, 78-inch reach, and a leg reach of 44 and 46 for Rakic. So, I mean, these guys are kind of mirror images of one another.
Yes, sir.
It's just that their fighting styles are a little bit different. And, you know, when you talk about Blokovic and, you know, his – I don't know if you want to call him struggles as far as wrestling and grappling – he actually has an edge over Rakic.
He's better than
Rakic
at it. Yeah.
Just by the stats.
Yes, sir. Nope. And that's exactly what I was going with, Andy. And I just don't think Rakic is quite there. I think Jan gets this one done. And I think it's going to be a unanimous decision. So,
are you looking at any of the undercards here? I see we got Ryan Spann on, a couple other notable names.
Yeah. I mean, I do like Ryan Spann. Other than that, I don't think I'm going to. Kaitlyn Chikutagin could, I think, probably win her fight. It's just I don't know these undercard fights as well as I know this main event fight night.
Yeah, you got the number one contender versus number three. That's why it's the main card.
Exactly. So, no, I like those two fighters that we just talked about, but I'm throwing most of my money on Jan to win that fight at plus 135.
Boom. You heard it here first, folks. UFC fight night.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's dive right into the USFL week five odds.
Already.
And I'll tell you what, you know, where a lot of these leagues in the past, where you get into week four and week five, the television ratings plummet and the league
folds.
It's basically over with. That's not the case here with the USFL. It's got some life to it, got some legs. It hasn't fallen off the face of the earth. And I'll tell you what, it's enjoyable football. I caught myself watching a couple of games over the weekend.
Well, yeah, exactly. Right after the Kentucky Derby, after I, you know, kind of, you know, walked out of the bar and everything, kind of cool, calm, collected, came back in, and we watched a whole friggin' USFL game. So, like you said, it's on TV, and people like to watch sports, and it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere.
I'll tell you what, Kevin Kugler was on the call.
Yes, sir.
And they also did a Bando. You remember that guy, linebacker for the Nebraska Cornhuskers? Josh Banderas. He had a really good game, and they talked about him for a while. And yeah, just I think when they get that type of talent in the booth and obviously the talent on the field, it's turning into a decent enough product.
For sure. No, I love it. So,
and it gives us something to talk about and bet on.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about this first game here. The Michigan Panthers opening up as a 2.5-point dog to the Tampa Bay Bandits.
So again, I think the books have this one wrong, Andy, on Friday. I think the Panthers are a better team than the Bandits. They're at a plus 2.5, so they're getting 2.5 points. I would smack that because I think what's really going to come down to in this game is the Panthers give up less points and they score more. So that, to me, is, you know, just telling of where this game is going to be. I would maybe look at the money line for the Panthers because I think they will win this outright.
Okay.
But if you're kind of scared about it, take that 2.5 points, put it in your back pocket, and, you know, it's probably going to hit.
Make you feel a little bit better. Are you looking at the over-under, 33.5 at all?
I have not really dialed in on these yet, Andy, because they're so
– It's been all over the map.
It's been up and down. One team will score 40, and then one team will score – the same team will score 13 points the next week.
Or get shut out. But, like, we've seen that a couple times.
But it seems as if the – without even scoring the points, that the defenses and the offenses are kind of – you know, they do what they do. Mm-hmm. Even if they – They keep the other team at bay. You know, if they're a good offensive team and a good defensive team, they usually win the game. And I think the Panthers have the better of both against the Bandits here. So I'm going with the Panthers.
And Michigan has the hometown kid, right?
Yep, as a trigger man. And I have been going with the quarterback, Shea Patterson. He's still pretty wild. He's still I think he had 3 interceptions in his last game, but like we said, with this league, if you're not gassing up, if you're not throwing it down the field, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yep. So that's what it's built for.
That's what it's built for, and I still think he's probably one of the best players in the league, and I'm going with the Panthers at +2.5 over the Bandits.
All right, so let's move on to the New Orleans Breakers versus the New Jersey Generals. Oh, Mike Riley fighting Generals.
Yeah, the fighting Generals. Like you said, the Generals are on a 3-game winning streak.
Woo!
I still believe that the Breakers are the best team in the league, Andy.
Well, they're the 3-point favorite.
I do think that they're the best team in the league. I really just see this one kind of doing what they're saying it's going to do. I believe it's probably going to be about a 24-21 game for the Breakers. Mike Riley just coming up short a little bit there.
Wow, I've never seen that before. Mike Riley's team's coming up a little short.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They're the 3-point dog. What about the over-under here? 36.5, a little bit of higher scoring game. Anyway, that's what the books are feeling.
No, I do like this one a little bit more. Just because these are two high scoring teams here. And it seems that the Generals have really, really figured out how to score points. So even with the Breakers' really good defense, I think they can hold up their end with at least putting up, you know, like I said, 20 to, you know, 24 points, with the Breakers probably scoring 26 to 28 points.
Okay. And then should we move on to the Sunday afternoon game on NBC?
I like that one. This is the main one that I'm going to throw money on, because the Gamblers are way better than Maulers. Maulers still haven't won a game in this league. They are 0-4. Now, what's going to scare people is that this line is opening up at 5.5 towards the Gamblers, because the Maulers have not, well, they haven't covered or they haven't won.
Yeah, so, they're 1-3.
Yeah. So I really like the Gamblers here. I don't know if I like that 5.5, Andy. What are you thinking?
Well, first off, this is the Sunday afternoon game on Fox.
Yeah.
When I was talking about the Sunday noon game, that was the Birmingham Stallions and the Philadelphia Stars. But no, as far as the Maulers, there is a reason for concern there. They're 0-4.
Yeah.
But this is, I don't want to call it the toilet bowl, but this is a team that had, these two teams have 1 win between them.
Yeah.
And 7 losses, and we're sitting at week 5. So, I mean, and then you have the over-under at 33.5. I just don't know if either of these offenses are going to click enough, so I might be leaning on the unders here.
Yeah, the under is a very good bet.
So that might be where I'd lean on this one and just stay away from the 5.5 and just kind of go with that under.
The only reason I would be scared about that, Andy, is that this Maulers team has no defense. They have allowed 92 points on the season, and the Gamblers have also a very bad defense, allowing 95 points on the season. The flip side to that is that the Maulers cannot score.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They cannot score.
They don't need either of these teams have an offense. Exactly. So how are they going to get to that 33?
My best bet of this whole slate is I do think the Gamblers will end up covering. This 5.5.
Okay, that's a big spread in the USFL.
It's a big spread, but I do think that they'll probably beat this Maulers team by multiple touchdowns. I think the Gamblers are a little bit underrated right now with only having that 1 win, but I think they are going to smack Maulers.
They're gonna maul the Maulers.
Yep. All right. I agree.
And then, hey, let's just touch on the other side here.
Yeah.
Birmingham Stallions, the only hometown team here, because they're all played in Birmingham. They are sitting at 4-0, taking on the Josh Banderas-led Philadelphia Stars at 2-2. That is the noon game on NBC. And that's another reason why this league has got some legs to it. The games are on Fox, NBC.
Yeah, those networks are really getting behind it.
Yeah, they really are. Now, this is a wide spread, though.
Yes.
-6, on the Stallions, minus 278 to win. So, I mean, this is everyone's thinking and loading up on the Stallions.
Well, I guess hometown, it helps, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I didn't think it was going to. I didn't know if this was going to have enough fans to actually make that happen. And I don't know if Birmingham has more fans than any other team down there. I'm sure that they do. They definitely look like the best team. But I'm still holding out thinking my Breakers are going to, you know, turn it up a little bit just with that better defense. But the Stallions have scored the most points, obviously, and they haven't lost yet. So I really think that they'll probably keep it going and become 5-0. The only thing is, where's the line there at six?
Six. So
that's a pretty big spread.
And you're kind of baited to go for two, go for a three-point conversion or whatever the case may be, and that can really stack up some points. I mean, it could hurt you on the other end, but right here, I mean, that's about as wide as I've seen it, you know, from week three on here with that with minus six. That over-under, 35.5.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I do like that. I do like that because, this, like we just said, that this Stallions team is the best offense in the game. Mm-hmm. And you know, they don't have a great defense, allowing 75 points on the you know, year, but I think the other team can do enough to get to that.
The Stars have an offense.
So yep. I do like this over, Andy. It's probably one of the better plays of the weekend is that over in that game.
Sweet. All right. So we really smashed all the USFL big matchups coming at you on Sunday afternoon and the nooner. Let's end strong here with the NBA Friday night game. Talking. Milwaukee versus Boston. This series kind of going back and forth here. Boston, big win recently.
In Milwaukee.
Weren't they down by 10?
They were. And I really thought that Giannis was going to kind of stick the knife in him and everything, but kind of let it go and ended up losing by 8 points, which is unheard of in this series.
Yeah, and now we do have a series. So let's talk this Friday game. Where do you think it's going?
So they will play a game in between this on Wednesday in Boston. So a lot of stuff could shift by that, you know, by that game going either way. But just going by the line that was this past Monday when it was played in Milwaukee, the line was Milwaukee by 1.5, and the over-under was at 213. So they smashed past that 213 because Boston won 116 to 108. So they went way over that 213 bet. But if I know how this is kind of going to go, Milwaukee is going to open up as a favorite at home, probably by about 1 point, maybe 1.5. And I bet that over-under is right there at 215.
I think you're right, and that's a great point, because just overall in the playoffs in general, not just Milwaukee-Boston or Boston games, Milwaukee games, the unders have been killing it in these NBA playoffs.
For sure.
I mean, these defenses have beat up, and if you just consistently smash those unders, you'd be a happy man right now. I almost feel like that was an outlier of a game, the way that Boston got down and didn't stay down. They had to crank up their offense, so going over that 213, I almost feel like the game was an outlier, how it played out was an outlier, and also getting to that over in such an emphatic fashion. I feel like that was an outlier.
It was.
So I'm looking at things getting back to the way they were.
Exactly.
Especially in Milwaukee.
Yep.
Regardless of what happens earlier in Boston, I feel like Milwaukee can cover that 1.5, and I also like the under if it's around that 213.
Exactly, Andy. And just to the point you were just making, Boston scored 43 points in the fourth quarter. That is how they did this, and that is just unheard of.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum had 30 points. The real outlier of the whole game was Al Horford had 30 points. They said that Giannis said something to him and got him pissed off, and he just started jacking threes, and they were going in. But these teams will not score that many points again in a quarter. That was just unheard of. 43 points in one quarter of playoff basketball. Most teams can just – you know, shut that down, especially a team like Milwaukee. So I think that Giannis is probably going to sit down everybody and say, we got to D up. I got to play better. You got to play better. And I think that they will cover. And if that over-under is anywhere at 215 or above, smack the under, boys.
So, and here's a fun stat that goes along with what you were saying about Horford.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, he made all six of his shots, scored 16 of his career high, playoff high, 30 points.
Wow.
He is the oldest Celtic to score 30 points in a playoff game since John Havlicek did.
Johnny.
When he was 37. That was 45 years ago in 1977. So when we're talking about an outlier, and this isn't going to happen every other night, this kind of shows you, it happens, last time it happened was 1977.
Well, that's what I'm saying about Al Horford is, like, he didn't even do that when he was the best player on his team, when he was on the Hawks or, anything like that. So
it went 6 for 6 down the stretch.
It was just, he was in the right positions. He was getting open shots and, they were just falling for him. So it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch, but it was kind of one of those outliers, one of those bad beats that we always talk about.
Right.
But a team like that will not score 43 points again on the Milwaukee Bucks, and you can take that to the bank.
I like it. Lock it up. All right, so anything else you want to hit on here? I mean, that was a loaded second half.
That was a loaded second half, and I think I'm about tapped out on everything, bank-wise and talking-wise, so...
Alrighty, folks. Well, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We're going to be coming out with picks each and every day. TikTok, we got daily picks going out for on sure. that as well. Don't forget about our YouTube channel. A lot of fun content coming out. The how-tos, the whys.
Yeah.
A little bit of behind the scenes. We're having fun with it.
No doubt about it. I love it. We're just trying to have fun here, guys. So let's go.
All right. For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen, your host. Thanks, everyone, for listening to WTL. Where's the Line?
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.